We're good?
Yes.
It is October 20th, 2021. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence to honor our first responders and servicemen and women.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, presentation of minutes, those are being tabled, some technical issues and others. So, first item of business would be public comment limited to agenda items only. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment on the agenda items, please come forward, state your name, the road you live on. Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So, resolution 82-2021, the resolution renewing the plenary retail consumption license for Onarosa Inc. at 282 Route 513. Filing fees of $200 have been paid to the state of New Jersey, and the township license fee of $2,500 have been paid. Any discussion? Or is there a motion for resolution 82-2021?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 82-2021, issuing the plenary license or renewing it for Onarosa.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So, unfinished business. First item is the sign ordinance. If I could just, I think, for all this to clarify, the clerk and I and I have discussed the sort of the process that we're aiming for here. I also had a chance to speak with the planning board chairman, because the question is whether we want to introduce an ordinance once we have it finalized and have the planning board look at it between introduction and potential adoption, or whether we want to have them look at it ahead of our introduction. In discussion with the clerk, the advantage of having them look at it ahead of our introduction would be that if they have comments, we wouldn't have to republish and have the expense and time delay of republishing. And given that we're the next election that this would apply to is really next June, the planning board chairman also agreed that it would be sort of the courteous, he would feel it more courteous if they got to look at it and have input before introduction. So the question is whether whether we're, obviously we need to finalize it. Their next meeting is in December, so that's when we need to have it finalized for. I throw that out there so we know where we're going. I think to finalize it promptly, there's no reason not to finalize it promptly, but introduction would be after the planning board has a chance to review.
Which would be when, then?
Their meeting is in December, so we would then introduce in January.
Okay.
And, by the way, this also then would track parallel to the electronic vehicle charging one that was discussed last meeting. There would be some convenience for the clerk to have both of these in January running through the process. So unless anybody, you know, we can discuss that further, but that's, I think, the process we're aiming to.
Well, I think that's more efficient.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't. Again, not
we're talking June,
so it doesn't really matter. So,
yeah.
Or April, or whenever campaigning starts.
Might as well make,
still.
You know, if the planning board has any thoughts, does it make sense that, you know, if we were up against the election for some reason at this point.
And they did show a strong interest last time. So, at any rate, we have a draft in front of us, which a new draft provided Monday, which, I mean, clearly reflects the discussion from the last meeting. By my read, we still need to work out the specifics for the park and Bunvale corners. Anything else you'd like to?
Can I just ask one question? Is it a nit thing? Should we call it something other than the park? Is it?
Well, we can put in the Memorial Park or whatever.
I think Memorial Park.
Yeah,
and it has a block and lot as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, whatever the formal name is should be in there, I think.
Memorial Park.
Lebanon Township Memorial Park.
So we call, well, we don't have to say Lebanon Township, right, because it's our ordinance. Yeah, just the Memorial Park or Memorial Park?
I think just Memorial Park is what
just Memorial Park. Because I see the museum, the DPW, so just that. Okay, so just call it Memorial Park.
Now, I'm hard-pressed to remember if there's a sign at the road, in which case it probably says.
Yeah.
You should just follow that.
So I think the only unanswered question is, are we going to add to the exceptions?
What, just one nit, since we're doing the nits.
Yeah.
In this draft, 1B1, political signs placed on residential, commercial, industrial, agricultural, consent of the property owners must be obtained. I thought we took that out of...
We did.
Yeah, so
we
that...
Discussed
I mean, we took it out of modifying general regulations, but it wasn't there in the last draft. That just looks
right.
Like it snuck in.
Yeah,
and
it
jumped back in, so that would be taken out. Sorry, now back
where
to
was
your,
that?
1B1, bottom of the first page.
1B1.
Political signs placed on residential, commercial, industrial, and or agricultural properties. Consent of the property owners must be obtained.
So why wouldn't we have that? You can just put them on
anybody. That was discussed last meeting, but it's...
We found that it was unnecessary because it's redundant because...
There's already trespassing.
Somebody else's property.
Yeah, there's already trespassing another one.
All right.
That was the consensus.
So it's not hand-holding somebody. It's just
correct.
It's redundant.
It's not saying you don't have to give
them. Yeah.
It's saying it's outside the scope of this
all right.
regulation.
So I think at the last meeting we talked about putting in where we can and where we can't. And so 2I is where we can't, where it's prohibited, and these are all the municipal places. And II are the exceptions. Now, I think you had discussed some additional areas last time, but I couldn't remember what they were.
For exceptions, these
for the exceptions.
These match my notes. These six.
So we're only going to, but the way this thing sits, we're only going to put, from a municipal perspective, signs in two spots.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Okay.
Generally speaking, the corner of the library property, and I don't know if we ran it completely to ground, but the corner of Memorial Park. But the question is, do we also allow at the T of Red Mill Road in Memorial Park, where people have put them on both?
They do, and
exactly.
The problem is that's the second time on one property.
Exactly. So I didn't mean to reopen that, but just to let everybody know, I think that's what's still going on last week.
Now, I think I saw in here something about majority-owned. That
majority
you can put it on.
Wholly.
Was it in here?
Yep.
I know. I thought I saw it. We saw it before when I was reading it.
On the page that lists the exceptions for the places that's banned under number 2, the first line of number 2.
Oh, wait a minute. Majority or wholly owned by the township. Okay, except these. Okay.
And we had a discussion about line of sight, if you remember at the last meeting. So I spoke with the zoning officer, the chief of police, and our engineer. And there's never been an incident in the township that anybody can remember that there was an issue of line of sight as a consequence of the signs or any kind of traffic accident or the like attributed to it, so it's not an issue. The other aspect is line of sight does not have a very clear definition from our perspective because it's a combination of the speed limit on the road and the topography of the road.
Mm.
So we would have to start inventing new ordinances to put line of sight in here, and so it's best to just be silent.
I have no problem with that. Silent to the point where it says here, just limited to the corner? Or do we need to say 40 feet from the corner?
Now, if we start saying, well, we can say whatever we want from the corner, but it has nothing to do with line of sight.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. You know, because what, my only point is when I read this, it said limited to the corner. That can mean a lot of different things to different people.
I absolutely agree, and I don't know exactly how to make it clear. I mean, look what's down on the corner right now.
Right.
You've got a sea of signs. You can't even read them. There's so many signs there.
Right. But that was.
And I suspect it'll be more once this thing is approved.
Part of the reason I wanted to establish that we're aiming for a December deadline was that I think those two corners statements need to go out and look and have a proposal, whether it's 30 feet or 50 feet. And that I'm not prepared to guess tonight what's reasonable.
I'm not sure anybody's prepared to guess at any time. You can go down there and walk it 20 times. I don't think you're going to come up with a number. It's totally arbitrary.
I didn't know what to expect until this came the other day. Yeah. And so I would like to walk it in next meeting. If we're down to fixing it, just a number, if everybody's comfortable with everything except how to measure the corner.
Right. This corner's never been a problem because, I guess the biggest part about that corner as opposed to this corner, there's no building, no influence that corner implies. That corner implies there's an association with the library.
Yeah.
So how far away from, maybe it should be going from, it can't be any closer than 40 feet from the driveway of the library. You know, instead of saying 20 feet this way, how close can it be, go the other way? How far away do we want to make it?
How much feet do you think there is from the library entrance to the corner? I don't think there's a lot.
There's not a lot, but I couldn't tell you if it's 50 or 40 or...
Yeah, I mean, it's probably 40, 50 feet from the corner. So, I mean, like I said, that's why I just threw out 40, not to be a real number there. But just as I was, maybe that's the approach, is that bridge from that stonework there, it can't be any 20, 30 feet from the stonework or whatever whatever the case may be there. And that's the limitation that we put on that corner. That corner...
And then it potentially could... Then it potentially could run to the property line to the church because that's not very far either.
Right.
And then it would just be easier for everybody to know where you can put them.
And you don't want them to flood if it rainforest thing there.
Yeah.
Now, how does this affect? I'm just thinking about it. You know how everybody puts other signs there. Are we going to have to update the rest of the ordinance to cover people that would put the school signs and? Events and...
Well, these are political signs.
Right, but that's what I'm wondering.
If you look at the whole sign ordinance, those signs are covered in another section, which take a minute to read.
But are we going to zero in on them, too, and say they didn't... Because if we don't want clutter, if that's part of the reason, you almost have to update the other part of the ordinance as well.
Yep.
Because people are going to be asking questions, well, why can the Dreamweavers sign be there, but my political sign can't be?
Dreamweavers is a...
Oh, I don't know. I saw a graphic one time with...
Because if it's a commercial organization, that's advertising signs, which wouldn't be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Except
it's event. It's like events.
If it's like the LTAA, the basketball, volleyball and whatever, softball teams, then we do allow those. But we don't restrict them the same way we're restricting political signs.
And why would that be? I mean, if we're doing this to get rid of... What are we doing this for?
Political signs.
I mean, what's the reasoning? Is it clutter? Is it not clutter? What is it? Just you don't want political signs?
It's certainly not that we don't get this
right. Yeah, I mean to jump in, but the point was is we didn't want political signs all over the township from the start of this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to define specific areas where we can put political signs and where we can't put political signs so that they're just not everywhere around the township.
Well, I'm just thinking if there are line of sight issues and you're getting into that, that's going to happen with other signs.
That's already on the general regulation that you can't obstruct vision and things.
Okay.
But I just happen to see it. Signs for public and charitable purposes. Nonprofit organizations may display no more than one sign per event for each road upon which the site has frontage. So we already have a little bit more limitation on those than we had in political signs. Maybe placed on the site no earlier than 2 weeks before, must be removed 48 hours after the event. And I looked to the attorney, I don't believe we have the same type of free speech issues when it's political versus...
The political speech is put at the highest level of protection with the informational event that is coming next in line in the commercial speech because of its nature and the other regulations. We have more leeway in how we are able to regulate that.
Which actually reminds me, Bev, your point of what are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to make our ordinance stand up to a First Amendment challenge.
Well, that I knew, but right, this is more about just the where they're located. It wasn't that.
And the other one, the public charitable purpose already not to exceed 32 square mm-hmm. feet. So there's consistency.
So when, okay, so if this, say it gets through the planning board and it gets passed, and the county level candidates and the state level candidates, are we just going to pull their signs? Is somebody going to call them?
Yeah, that's
just pull them.
That's like the zoning officer does for other signs now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the zoning officer told me.
Okay,
that's what he does. He sometimes pulls them, and sometimes Warren pulls them.
Okay.
So, you see, I would suggest that we're narrowed down to exactly how do we describe those two corners.
Okay.
If that's everyone, I'm not agreement
sure if we
that.
Need it. If we need some, or just say, you know, 50. That one's pretty broad. I mean, that can be 50 feet, even 100 feet. I don't think that has the same issue as down there. So I think the biggest one is down there.
And let me add. Well, that's your point. I was going to say, do we want to extend it to all of West Hill Road? But we still only allow one sign.
We still only allow one sign.
Probably going to want them at the corner.
Right. But if there's a bunch of signs, you know, if you stack them up, if you only give 10 feet, you can stack them all like cordwood, and you're only seeing the first and the last one.
Yep.
So I think some semblance of space there would be useful for that scenario.
Okay. So if everyone's in agreement, everyone's in agreement with where this is going at not a vote level, but a consensus
mm-hmm.
level.
Mm-hmm.
Those two corners need to be described, and then potentially we finalize the next meeting, send it to the planning board.
Yeah.
Okay. Unfinished business. That's it for unfinished business. New business, police chief's request to purchase. It's one vehicle, but it's
in
two.
The one that we got that got totaled?
Yes and no.
Kind of.
Because it was already in our budget.
Right.
They were going to add a new police vehicle this year in the budget that was approved.
Right.
And they weren't sure. That's why they're waiting to this late in the year. Did they really need it now, not need it? But since we had one totaled.
Right.
They now
I know they were waiting to see what they wanted with it, you know, but now that they really need one.
Yep.
The only thing that stuck out to me was there's a $1,000 miscellaneous, and I would like to get some more details on that because it was a big number.
Yeah. I have the same issue.
Okay.
Got a part number, too, though, for miscellaneous.
Yeah, I don't know it's interesting. I don't know what.
I don't know if that's just fitting, you know, could be bolts, you know.
Maybe you can Google it.
Bolts
might come up
like
as something.
You know, since it has a part number, guess is it's probably a bolt package or something like that.
But it's a big ticket item sign.
The way the requisition is working, there are two different vendors, so they order the base vehicle from Winter Ford on the very back, and then they send it to the next company, Central Sales Administration, that does the outfitting. And we were going to – it would be needed to be done in two resolutions to approve in any case. Should we go ahead and – approve the base vehicle while we get clarification on the customization, just knowing from the popular press that vehicle ordering can have a backlog.
Still not going to see it till 2024.
Oh, gee.
And so just to read it out, if there's a motion to authorize the purchase from Winter Ford under New Jersey State Contract Number 20-Fleet-01189, 2022 Police Interceptor Utility All-Wheel Drive Vehicle in the amount of $31,141. Is there a discussion around that?
Yeah, I think it should be ordered as soon as possible, considering the backlogs that are occurring right now.
I found it.
Is that a motion?
I make that motion.
I found the part number.
Oh, and?
It says it's a 6VS SPT coated poly partition vehicle info 2022 interceptor utility. That's what it is.
Boy,
I don't
makes
know.
A lot of sense.
Yeah, it's the VSS.
Yeah, it's like
a.
Watch out. That separates the front seat from the back seat.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's on there, but it was. I figured let's
Amazing.
Try it.
But we're doing this in two motions, and there's a motion now to purchase the Winter Ford base vehicle.
Right. So I'll second that.
Second. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So $31,141, which is in our capital budget, is approved. Now that you've seen the miscellaneous, yeah. Are we prepared to order the to approve the second?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one caveat on this is we have verbal confirmation that this is under a state contract, but we don't have the state contract number with us, so the motion would be to approve this subject to verifying the state contract number. Any discussion? This would be contract to General Sales Administration, trading as Major Police Supply in Kenville, New Jersey. Total customization of the SUV, the police interceptor utility vehicle, in the amount of $13,842.47.
And who's going to get the state contract number?
We'll get, I mean, the police are the interface, too, that we'll find out from them.
Okay.
What that is.
So it's conditioned upon...
Mm-hmm. Confirmation of the verification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he already spoke with the vendor, and they confirmed that they are state contact, but I had asked him to get the number, and I think
we need the number.
Yeah.
That's a requirement. Yeah.
I'll make that motion contingent on the state contract.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next new business is the fire chief's request to purchase equipment.
This is on the capital ordinance, and it finalizes this year's request. And we have an item here, rescue sled in the amount of $2,285. That's combined with what they call a fast pack, which is $2,464.20, which brings the total of that number $4,749.20. The capital at that point was for $5,000, so they brought that a little bit under. The other item is the upgrades to fire and hoses, $2,642. So he has it broken out a little differently. So we're looking for $2,285 is his first request, and then he's combined the other two items. I just broke them out separately so you knew where they came from in the capital ordinance. So we have one in the amount of $2,285, and the other is a combined $5,106.20, and we're looking for an approval from the committee.
I'm advised, because it's two different vendors, we should do two different motions.
Okay.
So the first is...
So I would be hoping that we can get a motion on the fast board rescue sled, which is $2,285 out of Fast Rescue Solutions is the company.
I'll make that motion or second, depending on what you were doing there.
You can make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 And the other one is to New Jersey Fire Equipment for the fast pack attack system and upgrades to hose for a total of $5,106.20.
I'll make that motion to approve the that motion.
Second.
And you seconded? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much. Now, the next topic on the agenda is the Boy Scouts' request for winter park camping. We haven't been able to get the detail.
Just receive an email passing down. He said that he's not sure of the date, looking at January 22nd or January 29th.
And, well... So the Boy Scout troop is requesting to be able to have a winter camping event in January of 2022 in our Memorial Park. This was discussed, as I understand it, at the Park Committee meeting. So I'll turn it over to Mark.
So Darren came to the Park Committee meeting and asked if the Park Committee was okay with them having it. And then obviously for the camping part of it, we have to approve camping to be done on it. That's not part of what functionally normally is allowed in the park. So in this case, Troop 92 would essentially be part hosting this Klondike Derby, which is a yearly event that the Boy Scouts for Hunter County put on. There's usually about 15 troops or so that would come to it, and they basically have a circuit which they would run probably around the park area, the main body of the park, and they'd camp out in the field area. So to minimize any possible damage, it would be out in that field area. So their only concern was if the farmer who hays it, would that be a problem, not knowing. It's in the middle of January. I wouldn't think it would.
His email states that he has approval from Jeff Spencer, mm-hmm. who farms the field.
Okay, so Spencer, okay, good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so they'd be camping out there. And then
how many per troop? You said 15 troops.
15 troops. Most troops get, for the Klondike, about 12 to 15 kids, usually two patrols.
Couldn't have made that an easier multiplication. So
you're talking 250, about 250 to 300 tops. Sometimes they only come in for the day. Like they won't even sleep over. They'll show up for the day. They'll bring their sleds. They'll do the course, and then they'll leave. They won't even camp. A lot of them that have younger kids that aren't used to, you know, snow and cold weather, they'll just have them run the course.
And would it be the corner field or just the field in front of the concession?
They would just need by the concession. That's all they would need for the amount of troops that would be there.
They would camp there and the course would be
there. The course would be out here because they'd set up typically around eight to nine stations. Depends on how many troops show up. Usually each troop will host a station, be it like a knot station or a first aid station or something of that nature, and they have to test their skills.
So the course would go
around
to
the park.
The park, the volleyball, the softball field up the hill,
kind of like
hill.
The track, yeah. Like where the walking trail is, essentially, around that scenario.
And the park committee discussed this and felt that they endorsed, mm-hmm. so presumably they...
I felt so, right, Charlie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we never did talk about insurance. Are they bringing their own insurance?
They would have their own.
They'd have their own insurance. Yep. Okay.
They would provide all that.
So given
we just need to approve if we would be willing to let them camp. And they would have fires, but they have raised, all of them have like essentially 55-gallon drums, raised stands that they would have fires in, so there wouldn't be any ground fires.
Is Gary Afgar notified of that?
He deals with Gary Afgar on that.
Good.
Yeah.
Can we get the insurance before the end of the year? Sometimes
I'm sure that.
There's little idiosyncrasies with that, and with the time of year and reorg and whatnot, that gives us a few weeks for Karen and I. Sometimes we have to contact our carrier and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Darren could arrange that. That's not a problem.
I was going to suggest that the motion would be to allow them to camp on one of the two weekends that they're proposing, contingent upon insurance satisfactory to the attorney and insurance carrier. Can we state that insurance be received by a certain day? Or
yeah, you can.
I mean,
sure.
Otherwise, we can shut it down the day that they don't get it to us. But
now, again, okay. The goal of having it earlier is we routinely have a few follow-up issues to work out.
So subject to providing insurance by December 15th? I mean, that gives them 6 or 8 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
You wanted December 1st, or you?
No, that's too. 12-15 would be more than adequate.
They do issue certificates of insurance often, so I'm sure.
I would have thought.
Normally, that can get turned around 24 hours.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it won't be an issue.
So, any other discussion on winter camping? Or is there a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve the winter camping in one of the two weekends specified by Scoutmaster, contingent on the insurance being provided by the December 15th date.
I'll second that since I was there too.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. As an update, this is post agenda event or occurrence. The attorney, township attorney, was informed, I guess, Friday of last week that the group that came to the township when we were discussing passing the cannabis, the recreation cannabis ordinance, who had indicated that a couple of years ago already they filed an application for a medical cannabis license. Within the past week, has learned that they have been approved by the state for a medical cannabis license. And we don't have information from them. I'm asking, keep looking to the attorney to clarify if I'm saying anything out of line. We don't know what they're going to want, but we believe that they're going to look for some sort of confirmation of compliance with local zoning laws before they start a whole procedure where they'll need whatever required procedures are in place. So just a heads up that at our next meeting, this may be on the agenda. I just wanted everybody to know that that this is happening. So it's the NAR group, N-A-R group. They're located at the old Diamond Aerosol plant, so it's where Woodland Road tees to Anthony Road. Right. It's the acreage up above that. So unless anyone has any further comment on that, it's, there's no action. We don't have information.
Well, what is that, looking at our attorney, what does that mean given the ordinance that we just put together?
Again, as we discussed in the August meeting, when they brought counsel here, it's a separate and distinct process, application, and use as part of the state. I understand it's very, it can sometimes interweave and be confusing, and there are significant differentiations under the law, under the Compassionate Care Act. And we told them repeatedly when they were here in August that the actions we took on the classes 1 through 6 were done under the recreational statute, and obviously by this grant that simply shows that the information that we put forth, the position we took, was accurate. So
this would be a separate undertaking.
Correct.
Totally separate.
Our office asked for the approval. I don't have it yet. And I really think that, you know, I don't know why. All I've seen is a media report. I'm sure that it was granted. Yeah. I'm not saying that. But I would imagine that there'd be very specific details in the state grant of the application and what we need to do next. So, I had hoped to have had all this information Monday or Friday, but that's not the case. So, I think it clearly will be on our agenda for the next meeting. We'll do everything we can to have any of those parameters very, very narrowed for November 3rd.
But it will be treated as a totally separate issue than the ordinance.
Yeah, the action, and as I represented in that open session, the action we took was the extent of the action, the authority we've been granted under a separate pile of sticks of the Recreational Act, not under the Compassionate Care Act. So.
So are we going to need a primer on the medical aspect in terms of?
I'm doing a lot of homework.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. I am. I don't know if we need a special meeting between now and then, but.
No, but, you know, hopefully our attorney can advise us.
I can give you.
Again, at this point, we don't know what the question before is going to be.
Well, that's true, but
whether it's going to be highly agree, we need to get it at some point.
Yeah.
Whether we need it before November 3rd or whether that's very narrow, we don't know yet.
I'd like to be prepared.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot out there if you dig for it.
Yeah. And by the way, to the extent, as I discussed with the attorney, if they're asking us for something, I think we're going to ask them to come and present, so that we can understand exactly what they're doing.
Right.
We're not going to imagine that we know what they're doing. So.
I should send you the citations.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that.
That was the end of new business, unless anyone had anything else, which would take us to presentation of vouchers.
I have only one to apply for Griffith Allied Trucking gasoline for the police, $2,505.03.
I have one here for Montage Enterprises out of Blairstown, a hitch post assembly for $1,670.52. Griffith Allied Trucking LLC, this is diesel for the DPW, $1,732.13. Another one for Griffith Allied Trucking LLC, again diesel fuel, these are from different dates. This is diesel fuel for the DPW, $1,561. Califon Lumber, Miscellaneous Cement, Portland Mason Sand, $1,096.44. And Bach Restoration, this is mold remediation, phase one of the municipal basement, payment of $9,510.
I've got two Sterling DeSanto and Associates. This is the business assessor company that we retained some time ago. This is for the tax assessment numbers for Charisma Social Club in the amount of $2,500.
I have two, one for the North Hunter and Voorhees High School, the school tax, $975,855.50. And then for the Lebanon Township Board of Education, $1,790,701.67.
None that apply.
So the total voucher list, $2,796,657.09. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next couple of correspondence items, animal control officer report.
Not many items, just a couple items. Normal.
The next one is an ANJEC, which is the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commission's Natural Resources Champion Award for 2021. It was actually last night. The award was in my name as mayor of the township, but it was submitted by our Environmental Open Space Commission, Adam Duckworth, chairman, and Nancy Lawler. And it was one of six awards for municipalities in the entire state out of hundreds of municipalities. And it recognized the township committee as much as anything, as well as our Environmental Open Space Commission, noting the significant preservation of land that was done in our township over the past decade or so, noting that we've been right on top of things like stormwater management and most recently calling out our hunting ordinance for deer management. So recognized, Lebanon Township recognized for environmental activities.
It was a nicely written letter from her, too.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Very yeah. Nice. Next, report from the recycling coordinator, Joanne Fasinelli, reporting on the townwide paper shredding event, which was held on September 18th. 89 residents participated along with township departments where we purge documents at this time of year. Total of 6,700 pounds of confidential documents were collected by the shredding company, and this is included in our 2021 recycling tonnage grant report. With that, we would open to public comment. If there's a motion, public comment.
I'll make a motion to open the public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, any member of the public, please come forward, state your name, road you live on.
Here.
Yep, that'd be good. Sometimes we open the comment. And just to remind everyone, this meeting is recorded, posted on the website promptly.
So. Charlie Fortenbacher, 100 Schleicher Road. As you guys know, I'm a member of the park committee here. I've been for many years. We just had our Fall Fest on September 25th. It was a great day. Large attendance. We made some money for the park. Everything worked out. It was a great day overall. We use volunteers, a lot of them, during the day. They help us throughout many aspects of the park for every different activity, cooking, whatever. We use volunteers for everything. My brother is one of the volunteers. During the course of the day, he cut his hand. Opening boxes of hot dog rolls. he bandaged up himself. He kept on working. I was like, Craig, why don't you go talk to the first aid squad over there? Let them take a look at it for you. So he walked over the length of the pavilion where there were the first aid squad, fire company was there. They took a look at it. They cleaned it out for him, bandaged it up. He came back over, and he said they did what they could. You probably should get go to MediMerge and have them get a couple of stitches. You might need some stitches. He stayed for the rest of the day, actually. He helped us. I kept away from the food. He opened boxes. He cut open cases of water, whatever. That was Saturday. So Sunday went by. He went to MediMerge on Monday, and he ended up getting two stitches in his hand. Case closed, no problem. My mother calls me yesterday, and she says, you got an envelope from Lebanon Township Fire Company at my mother's house. And I was like, that's unusual. Down in Basking Ridge. I was like, that's unusual. So I figured something got screwed up with the addresses. So I went down there today, and I opened up the envelope, and it's a bill from the Lebanon Township Fire Company for $200 for looking at my brother's hand the day of day in the park here, or Fall Fest. What the hell? What is that?
Well, all I can say is I will talk to the chief and find out for you. I don't understand that either.
I was flabbergasted. Mm-hmm. I called the township today. I told the Kim, like, Karen was there. I left a message for Jamie. I didn't get a response back, but I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I'm great they were there, but, I mean, he walked the length of the pavilion. That's where they were. You know, we were at one end of cooking. He walked to the corner. They were already on site. You know, they cleaned his cut, bandaged it, and he spent the rest of the day with us, and he, on his own, it's done, whatever. I mean, but why am I getting a $200 bill? You know, actually, it's my brother and I have the same names, and my father. We're all Charles Mordback. So it came to my mother's house, but that's why I thought it was mine, but it was for my brother. But I've got the bill right here.
Could I have that bill?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I'm like, that's not right. You know, I mean, I could see if they responded to a call somewhere, but, I mean, these guys are on site already.
Right.
You know, I mean, for $200 to do what? You know, I mean,
the only thing I can say potentially in their defense, but just I know that they as well as we all know, a couple of years ago, they have started billing for ambulance transport services. And all that billing is driven by insurance company regulations, and they have a separate billing company. So all I can imagine is that there's a code that they, if insurance applies, that's what did it. But and I'm sure there's not a code for if they're there.
Park, and no one called. Yeah. I made them go over because they were there.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm sure our fire department didn't make it up. I'm sure it's from some insurance code and procedure.
Well,
so
yeah, I mean, but they had to turn something in or something.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they filled out an incident.
Minor. I mean, they cleaned his cut out. They bandaged it, put some gauze on it, and then he was on his way. He came back. I worked all day with us.
Yep.
But then to get this bill today, I'm like, what the hell? I mean, that just didn't sit right.
We'll look into it, Charlie. We'll take a look.
Some volunteer organizations, they have a third-party administrator. And usually in cases like that, they will send an invoice to a resident or something like that happened. And usually what happens in those type of situations with the TPAs is that if the insurance doesn't cover it, then there's no charge to the resident. That's common. A lot of that is common when fire departments, ambulance, when they go out to create revenue, I would imagine. But if they're strictly volunteer, they will not. If the insurance doesn't cover it, will not, you know, charge the. I know it's a surprise, but
being that they're on site, they're there,
right.
You know, enjoying the day along the rest of us. I mean, what?
I have heard from the chief that it's getting highly regulated. They have a computer whenever they do anything. I'm sure when they open a Band-Aid, it gets logged in. And I'm sure
it's a little extreme, but yes. I mean,
you know, I'm sure they have to know who he was, and there has to be some call log so that if, you know, the next day.
He got the stitches, two stitches that Monday, and it was no big deal, actually.
But if somebody gets an infection, then they have to track it all back down. And,
but to get that bill for them, my God. I mean, it wasn't like a call. They were on site. They're enjoying the day alone, the rest of us. But and I had to bring it to your attention. I had to come.
That's okay. I appreciate it. That's fine.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we will be going into executive session on a personnel matter. We do not anticipate action required when we come back into the public. This would be Resolution 83-2021. Is there a motion authorizing executive session, Resolution 83-2021?
I'll make a motion to authorize Resolution Number 83-2021.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we ask the public to leave us.
Okay.
Thanks, Charlie.
Take care.
Good
night. I got the state contract number.
Oh.
So.
We need to make sure.
Okay.
Should I send it to Karen?
Huh?
Yep.
We need to make sure it gets marked as paid so it doesn't a year from now show up on something.
I see this company right here. I think it's like an automatic type.